has not been able to break through to us like he would love to. Maybe we're not doing so well. How long has it been since you really broke up the fallow ground of your heart and you allowed the Lord to really touch you? How long has it been since you prayed until you felt the Holy Ghost moving? How long has it been since the joy of the Lord was so real in your life? How long has it been? How long has it been since you have felt you were rapture ready? If I would ask you to raise your hands tonight, those who feel like they're absolutely ready for the coming of the Lord, I wonder how many would lift their hands in a hurry and say, "I'm prayed up, I'm ready to go." Or I wonder how many of us have been sleeping. David said, "Lighten mine eyes, Lord, lest I sleep the sleep of death." Every once in a while, our eyes have to be enlightened. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the oil of the Holy Ghost, to touch our eyes so we can clearly see. I was praying here with our young ministers early this morning, morning prayer meeting. Many times I pray the prayer that David prayed. While we were praying, I opened my Bible to Psalms 51. And I prayed the entire prayer that David prayed. It's from a man who is broken, a man who has known the heights and the depths of God, a man that had had a real touch from the Lord, and then something happened in his life and he lost it. I forgot about the prayer until this evening and my meditation, and I really didn't want to preach tonight. I didn't really want to preach. Very few times I've felt that way in 31 years, but I just did not really want to preach. And while I was meditating, God spoke the part of that message to my heart. "Cast me not away from thy presence," David said, "and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." I figured it was for me and that I needed to be very careful. But after coming to the service tonight, I guess it's for all of us. We take so much for granted. We just feel like the Lord's going to be there all the time, whether we have prayed, whether we put forth any effort, whether we have really been desperate to reach out and touch Him or not. He will be there. We just figure that in our minds, and it's not very important to us that we put forth much of an effort. David prayed that prayer, and that's my prayer tonight. "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Even though David had fallen in the depths of sin, he was still able to feel the presence of God. He had lost something, though, and that was the joy. He lost it. And he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I think one of the early signs of backsliding is when people lose the joy. And then it's a struggle to worship because they don't have the joy there. Again, the writer, David, said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." If I can just get a little joy in a service and feel the touch of God in my life and the joy of the Lord flows in my life, then I know that I'm going to have the strength that I need to keep going. Because the presence of the Lord in my life renews that joy on a day-by-day basis. And if we are not careful in our careless attitude, our indifference, and our unconcerned feelings, we could certainly wake up someday and His Holy Spirit is gone. I think that's probably the most miserable condition a person could be in, is after having once felt it and enjoyed it, and then it's not there any longer. Too many of you struggle tonight to reach out to really break through. Something is wrong. We love the church. We love the fellowship. We love the worship. We love the choir. We want to be entertained. We want somebody that really knows how to preach to get up and preach to us. But sometimes we just sit there and we don't do one thing. Could it be that we're on dangerous ground and we've taken things for granted so long that somehow the Spirit of the Lord seems so foreign to us? It seems so distant. It seems as though we can remember a time when we really enjoyed our service, really enjoyed our worship. There was no effort for our praises. It was there. It just flowed from us. But something along the line has gotten in the way and stopped the flow of the victory. Don't take God for granted. He doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe this church anything. I'm here to tell you tonight, we owe Him everything. We owe our lives. We owe our strength. We owe Him our praises. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. But there was not a whole lot of joy here tonight. David said, "Cast me not away from your presence." Now, a backslider is not removed from the presence of God all of a sudden. There are many backsliders that will tell you they felt the presence of the Lord for a long time, even though they were doing things they should not have done. They could not get away from the presence of the Lord. And my Bible teaches me that we can resist the Spirit so long that it will depart. Resist not the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 30, that we are not to resist and we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve the Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Spirit of the Lord within us. Amen. That's our life. That's our strength. That's our health. That's our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But we can grieve the Spirit of God with our attitude of indifference. Jesus told a church in the book of Revelation, "You are neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. Because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." That's what David said. "Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take me. Don't remove me from your presence. Bear with me, Lord, until I can get revived. And those bones that you have broken can be mended and healed, and I can get on the road again, and I can love you again, and I can serve you again, and I can worship you again. Just bear with me, Lord. I don't want to grieve your Spirit. I don't want to be cast from your presence. I don't want you to remove that all-important force in my life. If you take your Spirit from me, there's no telling what will happen to me. Mine enemies," he said, "are around about me. They would devour me. They would destroy me. But for the Spirit of the Lord within me, I am safe. So remove not your Spirit. Don't take it from me. And you're safe as long as the Spirit and the presence of God is in your life." 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We've got to have the Spirit of God to have that liberty. Liberty in our worship. If the Spirit of the Lord is there, we can have liberty in our worship, in our praise, in our loving the Lord. If the Spirit of the Lord is there, our preaching is effective. The Spirit of God anoints us to preach. The Spirit of God anoints us to pray. We cannot pray without His Spirit. Jude chapter verse 20 tells us that we are building up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And Paul tells us in Romans 8 and 26, "Likewise also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit within us makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered." In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray until I can feel the Holy Ghost moving. I'll pray until the Spirit begins to pray. pray through me. I'll pray till I begin to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty for worship. Oh, let's not take that for granted. Our worship is effective when the Spirit of the Lord is moving in our midst, moving in our hearts, and giving us strength, and giving us power, and giving us new determination, new vision, new zeal, new burden, new desire. It takes the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that has made us what we are, and we cannot survive without it. We cannot have a church service without it. We'll be dry and dead and dull and boring. And things will begin to set in. A dry rot will set in, if you please. But as long as the Spirit of the Lord is fresh in our soul, and we feel the touch of His hand, and we enjoy praising and loving God, we enjoy talking in tongues. There's so many of us here tonight, you have not talked in tongues in so long. You have forgotten the thrill of it all. You have forgotten the excitement of it. You have forgotten what it's like to feel the warm touch of the presence of God as it flowed through your life. And all of a sudden, He began to take your tongue and speak with it with words that you did not think of, words that you did not plan to say. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord begins to utter those words, those sounds that come from the very innermost being, begins to bathe you all over again. Oh, I pray the prayer that David prayed. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I love what I feel. When the presence of God comes, I'm a happy preacher. When I try to preach without the Spirit of the Lord, I feel dead. I feel dry. I feel dull. I feel like I'm bored. But oh, when His anointing comes, when His Spirit comes, when His power comes, and I feel like something's getting ready to happen here tonight. Hallelujah! Because it's the Spirit of God, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's His power and His Spirit that has made us what we are. It's not who we are or who we think we are, but it's His Spirit. It's His anointing. It's His power. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Charles G. Finney, that famous Presbyterian preacher, got so hungry for God, so desperate for God, in his prayer chamber, he began to feel that wonderful touch of the Lord. And all of a sudden, in his autobiography, he explains that the waves of glory began to sweep over his soul, and he began to feel divine utterances coming from his very innermost being. And he said for 2 hours, he began to utter sounds that he had never heard before, things he had never felt before, visions he'd never seen before, and the glory of God literally wrapped its arms around him, and he began to talk in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And he got to that place finally. After 2 hours, he began to beg the Lord, "Lord, loosen up a little bit. I can't stand anymore. I've never had to pray a prayer like that. I'd like to be so full of the Holy Ghost and feel the anointing of the Lord and talk in tongues till I'd almost have to say, 'Oh Lord, loosen up just a little bit.'" The trouble is, we're so human, we're so self-conscious, we're so full of stinking pride, we're so full of our prejudices, we're so proud of who we are, that the Lord has a difficult time getting hold of us. He'd like to dance through some of us, but we're too self-conscious. He'd like to shout to us, but some of us don't want to be shouting. He'd like to talk in tongues through us, but we're not willing to be a yielded vessel in the loving hands of God. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout with a voice of triumph.
take not thy Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I come from a large family. A large family. 10 children. 8 of us lived to be grown. 4 boys and 4 girls. My mother was a wonderful cook. Never had much money, but she usually had 3 or 4 cents a day. I remember going to the store every day to get a little cake of yeast. And she'd make her own bread and those delicious hot rolls. And she'd fix that delicious meal and put it on the table. That was our main meal that evening. And then we'd get around the table, and many times that good hot meal would be prepared and ready. And my dad would start thanking the Lord for all of His goodness. Hallelujah. He'd start thanking the Lord that we had food on the table. He'd pray for everybody in the world that didn't have anything to eat. And we didn't peep in those days. We didn't blink one eye. We kept our heads bowed. I can remember many times the Spirit of the Lord would move in such a way that we'd find ourselves pushing back from the table and falling on our knees in an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And about an hour later, we ate a good, delicious, cold meal. But we were all well-mannered. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you. It was pass the corn, please. The potatoes, please. We waited on one another. I think that our little church here is too well-mannered. You're just waiting for somebody else. Let this one, when it comes to the blessing of the Lord and the moving of the Spirit of God, we should say, sorry, you're going to have to get out of my way now. I haven't had this in a long time. Move over a little bit, please. I need a great big bowl of blessing here. Move over, please. I need a roll of healing. I need a strength from the Lord. I need a joy that only God can give. And I'm sorry, you'll have to excuse me. Pardon me, please. But I'm going to have what God wants me to have. You'll just have to get out of my way. I've got to have a touch from God. I need a blessing. I need new strength. And I want the joy of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Glory. Blessed be the Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because that's where I get my strength. That's where I receive my blessing. That's where I receive my touch. I know that I've got hold of something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. The anointing of the Spirit upon my worship, the anointing of the Spirit upon my praying, the anointing of the Spirit present to heal and to strengthen and to bless. Hallelujah to God. Glory. Glory. If a deaf mute could do that and not hear what I'm saying but could feel it, how much more should we that have all of our faculties working just fine, how much more should we respond when the Spirit of God begins to move? We need to learn to move right along with it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I never did like the name Holy Roller. Be seated if you can. But the fact of the matter, we need a few holy rollers. I raised up in the days of the holy rollers. When I was a boy growing up, it was in the days of the holy roller. People loved to come to Pentecostal meeting to see the holy rollers. There weren't all that many that actually rolled, but that was the name, you know, and I fought my way home many times because the kids called me a holy roller. We went to a new town one time, and I was so afraid and dreading to go through all that again. The teacher asked me what church I went to. I said, the Baptist. Because my dad had preached a sermon why I'm a Baptist. I thought, if Dad could say it, then I can say it. If he was a Baptist, then I'm a Baptist. You don't have to bear any reproach, you know, when you call yourself a Baptist. Unless you're a Bible Baptist. Unless you're a Spirit-filled Baptist. Unless you're a baptized Baptist. Unless you're a tongue-talking Baptist. Unless you're a shouting Baptist. Unless you're a Baptist that's not afraid to yield to God. Now, I remember after we got into this new auditorium, everything so plush and beautiful and lovely, and I was sitting over here one night and just meditating, thinking about what I was going to preach, and choir started singing, and God told me, get down the floor and roll. And I got sick at my stomach. I said, Lord, anything but that. I've never done that in all my life. And I don't know that I've enjoyed watching anybody else do it. And I never did get a blessing out of seeing anybody else do it. So please, Lord, spare me. But the longer I sat there, the more the Lord said, get down on that floor and roll. But Lord, I've got my black suit on and I'm a dignified preacher. What will people think of a preacher getting down and rolling on the floor? But the more I thought about it, the more God dealt with me. So I swallowed my pride, and just a little while I just slipped right off on this carpet and I started rolling, and a few people saw it. They couldn't believe it. Some went in a state of shock, had to be prayed back to life. My daughter Jean was sitting way up here on the platform. She said she couldn't see me, but every once in a while, something was rolling right up here. And it so affected them to see their pastor roll on the floor that they began to yield to God. The Holy Ghost began to move. People were blessed that night. People received the Holy Ghost out in the audience. I hope the Lord never asked me to do that again. But if He does, I can swallow every bit of my stinking pride. I can get James Kilgore out of the way in a hurry. And I can say, Lord, whatever You want, I want to be right in the dead center of Your will. Cast me not away from Your presence. Don't take Your Holy Spirit from me. Let me always feel that tender touch. Let me always enjoy that wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. Let it come upon me again. Let me talk in tongues all over again. Let me dance in the Spirit all over again. Oh, but let me keep that Spirit revived and stirred and moving in my heart and life. You cannot get along without this. Don't you ever think you can come here and sit and be as snug as a bug in a rug and make it. You've got to get rid of your pride and say, God, I want a breakthrough. I want a touch. I want healing in my body. Pardon me, please. But I've got to get something. Get out of my way. Let me feel that touch. Moses prayed a prayer in Exodus 33. When he said, Lord, if Thy Spirit go not with us, don't lead us up. We're not going to take another step unless Your Spirit goes with us. We've tried it in our way, and it doesn't work. So we're not going to try anything else, Lord. If You don't go with us, we're going to stay right here. We're not going to move a peg. The Lord said, My Spirit will go with you, and I'll give you rest. And so with the Spirit of God directing and leading Israel, and there were some of those that the Bible said that they limited the Holy One of Israel. They would not allow the Lord to lead them. They limited him. They actually deprived him of the power that he wanted to extend toward his people just because they got themselves in the way. They limited the Holy One of Israel. But Moses said, Lord, if your spirit doesn't go, then we cannot go. That's the way I feel here tonight. If the Spirit of God doesn't go with us, then let me get out of this pulpit. Let me go out somewhere and get a job and work a while. I probably need to anyhow. But if His Spirit will lead us and guide us and direct us, and we can feel every once in a while a divine interruption of the Holy Ghost and a message in tongues and interpretation, a word of wisdom, a word of the gift of knowledge, the word of the gift of faith, the word of prophecy, if we can feel that, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation. Are you satisfied to go along as a Pentecostal church without a divine interruption ever so often?
No.
Then let's allow the Spirit of God to operate in our own hearts and lives. And don't condemn the church. Condemn yourself. Amen. Don't condemn anybody else. Don't lay the blame on anybody else. Lay the blame squarely on your own shoulders. I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. But it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You cannot be saved without the Spirit of God. You cannot be ready for the rapture without His Spirit. If the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit. The Spirit within you is going to be the quickening power at the sounding of the trumpet and the coming of the Lord. That's why you better pray like David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because I want to be in the rapture. I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And it will depend upon the Spirit, the measure of the Spirit operating in your life and in my life that will get us out of this world. Do you have enough of the Spirit and power of God in your life to be ready for the rapture if the trump of God should sound and the dead in Christ should rise first? Would you rise to meet the Lord in the air with those that are alive and remain and be caught up together with those that are dead to meet the Lord in the air? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's by the Spirit of God that we will rise to meet Him. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. What is that Spirit? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The choir or the men's ensemble sang it so beautifully here tonight. He is Lord. He's still Lord. In the days of Caesar, the days of the rulers of Rome, it was commonly known through the land that the Caesar, whoever he was the Lord. And people had to greet one another with that greeting. Caesar is Lord! Caesar is Lord! When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, and Peter told that multitude, God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They were pricked in their hearts. And they said to everybody around them, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They baptized 5 in Darrington Unit yesterday in the wonderful name of Jesus. When the priest said, you're not going to baptize anybody in this prison in Jesus' name, everybody that's baptized here will be baptized according to the traditional formula in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they wanted to file suit. I said, no, we're not going to do it. God can work His way through prison walls. God can talk to the officials. We just poured the prayer on. And finally they called me just a few days ago, one of the chaplains there, and he said, can you come out here and baptize some of these that are determined they've got to get baptized in Jesus' name, or can you send somebody? I said, yes, sir, we can send somebody. Not only did they baptize 5, but the chaplain showed him a stack of cards yesterday that thick of inmates who have requested to get baptized in Jesus' name. It's because Jesus is Lord. It's because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I feel that liberty tonight. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Isaiah saw Him. Isaiah saw it 700 years before He was born. And He made a prophecy, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. Prepare you the way of Jehovah is what He was saying. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden you read Matthew 3:3, and there's the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And the Bible said, this is He of whom Isaiah the prophet wrote about. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And again, Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. That's born in Bethlehem is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 44:6, He said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no other. There is no one else. But you turn to Revelation 1:8, and you hear the voice of the Lord saying, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Thank God the one Isaiah wrote about was the one that stood in the midst of the golden candlesticks, and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And after the day of Pentecost and they received the Holy Ghost, they met one another on the streets. They didn't greet each other by saying, Caesar is Lord. Is Lord. They said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I'm saying to the world tonight, Jesus Christ is still Lord. Hallelujah. And He still reigns. And He still blesses. And He still heals. And He's coming again. And it's by His Spirit that dwells within us tonight. It's interwoven through the Bible. Every book in the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lord. The Bible is not 3 chapters old until all of a sudden there's a prophecy. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the seed of the serpent, shall bruise the serpent's head, and the head shall bruise its heel. Talking about the Messiah that was going to come. In the book of Exodus, He's the Passover lamb that was slain and the blood applied to the doorpost. Amen. Leviticus, He's the high priest. Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. The book of Deuteronomy is the prophet-like unto Moses. But in the book of Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's host. For God told Joshua, take your shoes off. He met the one that was the real captain. Joshua, you've got your sword and you're the captain, but remember, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. And there he stood, hallelujah, looking at him. In Judges, he's the righteous judge and lawgiver. In 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's the reigning king. In the book of Ruth, he's our faithful redeemer, our kinsman redeemer. In the book of Esther, he's the faithful Mordecai making intercession. In the book of Job, he's the everlasting redeemer. For Job said, I know that my redeemer liveth, and at the latter day he shall stand upon the face of the earth. And after this skin worm destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and I shall behold him for myself, not another. He is saying he's coming, and it's the Lord of Lords that is coming. He's the Redeemer, and he's going to redeem my soul one day. In the book of Psalms, he's the shepherd. In the book of Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In the book of Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, he's the wheel that's turning in the middle of the wheel. But you get to the book of Daniel, he's the fourth man that's in the midst of life's fiery furnace of trial. The king said, didn't we cast three men bound in the flames? And behold, I see the fourth man standing in the midst of the fire. And beside that, they're walking down there. What happened? The Lord of glory stepped right into the flames. The Lord of glory came to the rescue. The Lord of glory met the need. Amen. I'm telling you, you look through every chapter, through every book of the Bible, and you will see him. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. But you come to John, and he's the Son of God. But then when you get to the Acts, he's the Holy Ghost working in the midst of the church. But when you get to Romans, he's the justifier. When you get to Corinthians, he's the sanctifier. But in Galatians, he's the deliverer of the curse of the law. We have been delivered. We have been set free. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. Let me feel that Spirit. Let me shout and rejoice in the Spirit of the Lord. I think we ought to clap our hands and pray. Glory. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Oh, isn't it real? You folks feeling the Spirit of the Lord out there? Hallelujah. Our dear sick brother can be healed in the presence of God. Yes. Thank God. In the book of Ephesians, it's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. In the book of Philippians, Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. In the book of Colossians, it's beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him
Jesus Christ the Lord dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord right here tonight. He's the King here tonight. He's the Redeemer.